had committed war crimes. They included torture and cruel treatment and outrages upon personal dignity, rape, and other forms of sexual violence against people held in detention facilities in Afghanistan, Poland, Romania, and Lithuania. During the Obama administration, prisoners held at Guantanamo were force-fed, which amounts to torture. Obama's use of drones to kill people in seven different countries violated the UN Charter and the Geneva Conventions. Donald Trump conducted airstrikes in Iraq and Syria that killed record numbers of civilians, also in violation of the UN Charter and the Geneva Conventions. As Biden completes the withdrawal of troops in Afghanistan, his administration continues to kill people there. Nevertheless, on August 27th, Biden retaliated with a drone strike that apparently killed an ISIS-K planner, even though there was no evidence so far that he was involved in the suicide bombing near the airport recently. The U.S. Central Command released a statement that said, "We know of no civilian casualties from the U.S. drone strike, but according to The Guardian, an elder in Jalalabad reported that three civilians were killed and four were injured in the U.S. drone strike." The United States must completely refrain from using military force in Afghanistan.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so very much for joining us on a whole brand new episode of Muslim Lady brought to you by IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Zainab, and in the studio with me, I am accompanied by my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamini. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my dear friend.
Thank you so very much for joining us today. It's been quite a while since we were at the studio talking about, I think last we dropped off was regarding the women of Ashura, their contributions, their profound roles, and how they basically changed the course of history. We've been talking about the women of Kufa as opposed to the women of Karbala and their stance in reference to the heinous actions of their husbands and the aftermath of Ashura.
When you want to get married, do not choose greenery brought up in sewage. Mm. Or in other words, do not choose a woman, do not select a woman as your spouse who has been brought up and raised in a corrupted family.
Mm. This no matter how pretty or rich she is.
Yes, exactly. This is a principle that there's also the saying that there is an Iranian poem that says that the dog of the people of Kaf, the men of Cave, Ashab Kaf, they had a dog that because he had accompanied these righteous, God-fearing men, he was salvaged and saved, and other people, you know, a dog could reach a place, reach a status that by interacting, by, you know, this is just an example to show the impact of befriending good or bad people. This is true. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given human beings a very powerful, distinct power, which is to choose and to have the free will. Mm. And of course, it may be so much harder to be in a corrupted situation, but to stay on the right path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives you the power, gives you more power. If you take one step for Him, He firms your footsteps in His path, and he gives you tenfold strength and firmness, right? So we were talking about these women whose husbands were the enemies of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They've done hideous acts in the campaign of Imam Hussein and on the day of Ashura. But we mentioned, for example, this lady that after the evening of Ashura, she couldn't stand, she couldn't tolerate, you know, the men attacking the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. There's another instance where you have Khuli. I'm sure you've all heard his name. Khuli ibn Yazid, who took the head of Imam al-Hussein to Kufa. And when he brought the head, the gates of the city, the doors of the palace of Ubaidullah were closed. And he didn't have the chance to present the head to Ubaidullah and get his prize, right? So he had to take it to his house. And so he went to his house. He went to his second wife, who was, you know, the daughter of Malik ibn Aghrab from Bani Asad Hadrami tribe. And she asked him about, you know,
his parcel, his cargo.
Yeah, so what's going on? And do you have any news? And he said, well, you know what? I brought a valuable gift for you, hon. And I'm going to make you rich and happy forever. And she was like, okay, what do you have for me? She said, I have the head of Hussein is in your house. At this point, she got enraged and she said, damn you, all the other men bring gold and silver to their wives and you bring the head of the son of the prophet for me? This is the gift you bring for me? I swear to God that I will not talk to you. I will not stay with you in this house anymore. She shows her stance. She shows her opposition to Khuli. When Mukhtar Thaqafi seized the power and he was taking the revenge, he sent someone to Khuli and they attacked his house and he hid in the toilet under a basket and they asked his wife, do you know where Khuli is? She said no, but she pointed to the bathroom and she
made a gesture, basically.
Exactly.
And exposed him.
Exposed him and he was seized and killed. Alhamdulillah, this was the end of one of the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt. So this is another instance where the woman is living with someone who had the guts to do such a hideous, ugly action and to be so proud of it. And she firmly disapproved.
But it's so scary, though, the thought of it.
You know, at that time, you're thinking of beheading someone and having someone's head in your house?
No, the thought of living with such a monster, even in the case of Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, she lived with a man who killed newborn children and enslaved women just because.
I know.
And his punishment for the sorcerers who had embraced the religion of Nabi Musa and Nabi Noah alayhi wa sallam was to tear their limbs apart.
Amputate them, right?
Yeah, exactly. She lived with such a monster. I have so much trouble wrapping my brain around this. Either she was suffering her entire life
you know?
And the way she was also martyred in a very brutal way.
Exactly.
I think she was also...
She was smashed by a rock. And there's actually a very beautiful hadith regarding her death, her martyrdom, like you said. But at the end, and my point is, even the wife of the murderers of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam and his family and companions, the idea of living under the same roof with such a monstrosity. We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to Muslim Lady. We've been talking about the women of Kufa as opposed to the women of Karbala and their stance in reference to the heinous actions of their husbands and the aftermath of Ashura. How could they do it? What? First of all, why? Second of all, how?
And I heard that Lady Asiya was a very beautiful woman raised in a very good family.
Mm.
And I think she was forced to marry.
Yeah, in the case of Fir'aun, that's a possibility because he was a tyrant, right? He got whatever he wanted. But,
you know, sometimes you hide your true essence, you hide your true personality until the time in your life where the climax of your life happens. Probably they hadn't shown, you know, manifested or exhibited this much brutality in their lifespan until that point in life where Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in that way. So it's really hard to imagine this situation.
Exactly. Everything about the event of Ashura is just so exceptional.
This another similar story is with regard to Hind, the slave girl of Yazid. They say that Hind was the daughter of a very well-known wealthy man, and that in her childhood she got a sickness and that she was paralyzed, and her father took her to the Ahlul Bayt, to Ali's house, and she got shifa. She was cured, right? And then after that, she gave this daughter of his to be in the service of that house, of Ali's house. And after that, she went to Imam Hassan's house. And then something happened and he married Yazid. And
The Ahlul Bayt, they moved back to Medina, obviously. Yeah. And after Amir al-Mu'mineen, so I guess Hind had to get married at some point.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I believe she was very beautiful, too.
So she married Yazid, and one thing about her was that when the captives were taken to the palace of Yazid, and Yazid was doing these ugly things, you know, disrespecting the face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, she rushed out from behind the veils because she couldn't stand anymore what the ugly, inhumane actions that was going on. And she was hearing it and she was witnessing it. And she addressed her husband and she said, "Are so protective of your own women and of your own family, and you know, and you put all of them behind the veil so that the eyes of the men would not be cast on them. Mm. And then look how you are treating the Ahlul Bayt, the women and children of the noble prophet, you know, because apparently I read somewhere that on the eve of Ashura, where they put the tents on fire and they looted the women, and they took away the abaya that the women were wearing, because apparently they had this
different layers of hijab,
and they had their scarves and their long dress to cover everything. But on top of that, they put a third layer, like the chador or the abaya that we wear. So they took that, they removed that from this, they snatched it away from the women. And Fatima Sukhra, one of Imam Hussein's daughters, was, when she was running away, because Imam Sajjad alayhi salam told the women to run away into the deserts
and, you know, to escape the fire.
To escape the fire and to escape the non-mahrams and all these animals who were after them, you know, their anklets.
Mm.
And they knew that they weren't wearing like special kind of jewelry, but this was a prestigious noble family, you know? these men wanted to loot them. So she started running, and one of the men, kicked her on the head with something that she fell unconscious. The first thing that she said when she regained consciousness was that she saw her in the laps of her aunt, Zainab. The first thing that she wanted was to give me my abaya back, my chador, my protection, my veil back. Obviously, she had the hijab, but she didn't have the abaya. So this is the reaction of Hind's, you know, the Hind, Yazid's wife, where she raised her opposition, she raised her dissatisfaction with her husband, right? This is another woman that we can mention.
These are very interesting points, as alarming as they may be. But the thing about it, just as every other aspect of Ashura and the movement of Imam al-Hussein, the blessed movement of Imam al-Hussein, is that it acts as a trigger, right? And it really gets us to contemplate and reflect upon our life decisions. A lot of these men who eventually, at a very dark point in their lives, decided to kill the household or the prophet, were known to be pious, God-fearing men. You know, some of them walked to Hajj by foot. God knows how many times. Some of them were in the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. And I think the best prayer, what we learn from this, is that the best prayer we can have for ourselves is that Allah would grant us husn al-khatamah, good fates, good endings. You can live your life one way and you can end it another, just like Hur, just like Shimr. That's all the time we have for today's episode. Join us again on another segment of Muslim Lady here on IRB English Radio. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female, and made us into nations and tribes, so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history, just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us listen to what the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, has taught humanity about those who pretend to have faith. People are certainly enthralled with life. Faith is only something merely licked by them. They take good care of it as long as it secures their living. But once put to the tests of tribulation, religious men are rarely found amongst them.
This is IRIB English Radio. Website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. An Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Saman Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of the cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti airspace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or Air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way. A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says he was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saip also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva. One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go towards conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. The zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
A bunker built by the German army in France during World War II has now been given a new lease of life by turning it into an underground guest house. A 4,300 square feet bunker located off Breton coast in northern France was originally built by Nazi troops after invading the country in 1940. The area has been the home of hundreds of such fortifications of the German army. Half of them have been buried along sandy beaches. This underground guest house now belongs to the 52-year-old bunker enthusiast. Serge Gollio says it took 18 months to dig out the buried trench and turn it into a fully functional guest house. He says an attempt was made to preserve some historic aspects during its renovation.
What is nice is to now be able to spend time here, to have dinner, to spend the night and things like this. So we adapted the bunker while preserving a certain feel. We wanted to give the building a second life, so we are not going to live in the past forever. We saved some aspects, you know, where you are, there are historic cues, but this isn't a museum either.
Collio says many French visitors and foreigners, including Germans, have stayed in the guest house since the bunker opened a year ago. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nanchu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas, such as snowy mountains, grasslands, and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other. An architectural firm in Singapore has come up with a unique idea to deal with the country's constant warm temperatures. A hotel on the island's busy business district has been covered with more than 20 species of creeping plants to keep the place cooler. A layer of vegetation blankets the facade of the Red Tower, which is growing thicker with the passage of time. The plants reduce the ambient temperature by a combination of water evaporation and releasing cooler vapor. The architect says the tower is 10 to 20 degrees Celsius cooler than nearby buildings. The green facades also reduce harmful carbon emissions, which account for over 20% in a sprawling city.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The youngest panda at the U.S.'s Smithsonian Zoo, National Zoo that is, has turned one. Baby panda Xiao Qiji celebrates the milestone by eating a specially made fruitsicle cake with his mother, Mei Xiang, in Washington, D.C. Both pandas dug into their icy cake, an ideal treat in the hot and humid summers of the U.S. capital. Xiao has captured hearts and had many first-time experiences. Some of them include sliding and tumbling around in snow and recognizing his name, which translates to little miracle in English.
He was born during the pandemic, and given the age of his mother, we didn't think she'd have another cub. And the fact that we, not just that we had this miracle, but he has just been, he's given people moments of pure joy and pure happiness.
Xiao Qiji is a fourth surviving cub of Mei Xiang. Its older siblings now live in China under an agreement with the United States. Pandas have been reclassified from endangered to vulnerable thanks to reforestation to expand habitats in which the species can survive. There are an estimated 1,800 giant pandas in the wild.
The annual Butter sculpture has been unveiled at the New York State Fair to the delight of eager spectators. The artwork was sponsored for the 53rd year by the American Dairy Association. It was carved out of 400 kilograms of butter and took 10 days to build. The sculpture is dedicated to the children who will be going back to their normal lives after the coronavirus pandemic is over. Once the fair ends, all of the butter will be broken down and turned into renewable energy. Switzerland is constructing its biggest alpine solar plant in an effort to secure renewable energy throughout the year. The 2.2 megawatt plant is expected to be completed by the end of 2021. The Mutzi site will include nearly 5,000 solar modules and produce around 3.3 million kilowatt hours of electricity. It will have the option of delivering half of its production during the winter when temperatures drop to sub-zero levels in Switzerland. The developers say the project makes more environmental than fiscal sense. Currently, the country gets less than 4% of its electricity from solar power. An eatery in Japan is giving disabled people a new lease on life by including them in its workforce. Dawn Cafe uses robotic staff controlled remotely by people who are handicapped. Around 50 people with mental and physical disabilities help run the cafe. The pilots come from all over Japan as well as overseas. The venue was established with support from major companies and crowdfunding. It has become more than just a place to eat for its customers.
Customers here are not exactly coming to this location just to meet the Orihime robots. They come here because of the people behind Orihime, and they will come back to see them again.
For Kentaro, Dawn Cafe has a very personal touch. In his childhood, he was left unable to go to school due to a period of bad health. Now he aspires to come up with ways to further the inclusion of disabled people in society. Crowds of visitors and conservationists have been delighted by the birth of a rare orangutan in the Spanish town of Fuengirola. The new residents of the safari park made its first public appearance 2 weeks after its birth. The baby, yet to be named, is the only one to be born in a European zoo over the past 12 months. The park has launched a program to conserve Bornean orangutans that are considered as a critically endangered species. Their population has declined by more than 50% over the past century. Dozens of baby turtles have made their way to the sea after an unexpected overnight hatch in Italy. Italian volunteers were surprised by track marks of the hatchlings from an unknown nest in Sicily. Some of the eggs hatched in the morning. An environmental group following the turtles' movement said that 74 hatchlings made it to the sea, while five didn't. The reptiles are an endangered species of oceanic turtle that also live in the Mediterranean Sea. Their population has declined in recent years due to hunting, loss of beach nesting sites, over-harvesting of their eggs, and being caught in fishing gear.
As the U.S. is experiencing its worst heat wave, Boston zookeepers are working extra hard to keep the animals cool to avoid overheating. Some get frozen treats, and some, like the yak, get a water hosing several times a day when the temperatures rise. The hardest part is cooling down animals belonging to cold climates, like the reindeer. Since reindeer don't like water, the hosing down is a big no. Instead, the poor animals sit in front of a desk fan all day to stay away from the heat. The birds have it a little easier as they spend most of their time in air-conditioned dens.
through the same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This is today's special and the topic is A Message to Save the World. Today, Wednesday, is the 23rd of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 10th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter 9, verse 28 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا
My Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my house a believer and the believing men and believing women, and do not increase the wrongdoers except in destruction.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Prophet Nuh actually invoked Allah Almighty to forgive some people, himself, lest he had neglected some priority, his parents as a token of his gratitude for their troubles, for all those few who believe in his prophetic call and embark the ark which was his home, and finally for all believing men and women in the world down the centuries, thus establishing his ties with all the believers worldwide and at all times. Nonetheless, he accords particular emphasis to the destruction of the wrongdoers, implying that they deserved such torment. On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
A message to save the world. Today when we talk of standing firm like a rock against injustice, against unjust dictatorial regime, enjoining patience and displaying perseverance in adversity, the example of Imam Hussein is still relevant. It is the need of our to pay homage to blessed martyrs of Karbala, and the best way would be to live by the divine principles for which they laid down their lives. We need to be parents of their cause and to stand firm on the path of justice, liberty, and piety. They not only taught us how to stand firm against dictatorship and terrorism, but also how to maintain integrity of character in extreme adversity. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the main messages of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam for the whole world. At the same time, we find that the event of Ashura is replete with many fine lessons, I mean, in history. The event of Ashura took place around 50 years after the demise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and many people who had heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was one of the two paradise youths, as expressed several times by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and they knew well that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was the real Imam and the infallible Imam of the day. They fell short of helping Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. This is a very important and noteworthy point in history. It doesn't guarantee, I mean, there's no guarantee that those people who witnessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or even used to be among the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they wouldn't make any mistake. No, there's no guarantee. It's up to a person and his religious education and religious faith, which way he or she would choose. In this connection, we find that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam expressed that, I mean, crystal clear, he expressed that his movement was for the sake of enlivening and reviving the two principles of inviting people to do good and prohibiting people from committing the evil. We find that this is an important yardstick in the life of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. I mean, in such a way that the whole movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam can be interpreted based on these keywords.
Standing here alone on a land so far from home, a place where angels cry, while innocent children die. Hussein has said goodbye, praying some of them survive the torture and the heat. They can't bear to watch him leave. They cry out, Hussein, ya Hussein, Hussein, ya Hussein.
Muharram, a continuous mission against injustice. Imam Hussein's life was an inspiration for Indian greats like Gandhi and Tagore. Mahatma Gandhi said, "I learned from Hussein how to achieve victory while being oppressed." Rabindranath Tagore wrote, "In order to keep alive justice and truth instead of an army or weapon, success can be achieved by sacrificing lives," exactly what Imam Hussein did. For a world engulfed with continuous violence and bloodshed, the message of Imam al-Hussein acts as a beacon of hope.
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein, Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein.
Sermon of Lady Zainab in the court of Yazid. She said, "O Yazid, do you think that we have become humble and despicable owing to the martyrdom of our people and our own captivity? As you have blocked all the path for us, and we have been made captives and are being taken from one place to another. Do you think that Allah has taken away his blessings from us? Do you think that by killing the godly persons who have been great and respectable and the Almighty looks at you with special grace and kindness. For this reason, and on account of his incorrect thinking, you have become elated and arrogant. You have become boastful because you have seen that the matters have taken a turn in your favor. You have, however, forgotten what Allah says. The disbelievers must not think that our despite is for their good. We only give them time to let them increase their sins. For them, there will be a humiliating torment. Chapter Al Imran, verse 178.
Materialism does not bring you content. Be indifferent to this dunya. Let the majalis of Aba Abdullah remove that appeal and glamour and luster of this world in your eyes. This dunya, this materialistic dunya has no value, Allah. If this dunya had any value, Allah wouldn't let his beloved Hussein be massacred like that. But this dunya has no value. Everything and everything is for the akhirah. Everything. And Allah gave Imam Hussein the akhirah. Belongs to him. Yes, this dunya prepares us for the akhirah. But let's not wait a single moment bickering, fighting, preoccupying our minds with this dunya when it never will give you that satisfaction. You'll keep running your entire life and you're still not satisfied. Subhanallah, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha has a beautiful statement. The Imam alayhi salam states, the one who runs after this dunya, the world runs from him. He never gets it. And the one who runs from this dunya, the world comes after him. Subhanallah, how true is this statement? How many people, they're so desperate trying to become powerful, millionaires, having so much money, being, you know, the wealthiest person in their community. Most people don't achieve that. They keep running and running, and they accept bribes, and they give bribes, and they cheat, and engage in fraudulent activities. And believe me, most of them don't reach that goal. They don't. They really don't. People who run after this dunya, most of them don't reach those positions. Only a fraction of them do. And there is a reason why Allah lets them. It's a trial. It's a system. The Imam says, don't run after the world. Go after Allah. Allah will send the world after you in a proper way, in a way that allows you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be so preoccupied. My bank account, how much money I'm making, my income. We worry too much. Fulfill your obligation today. What happens tomorrow is none of my business. It's not my domain. My domain is today. Tomorrow, leave it with God. Today, I have to work, get up and work. You have to pray, get up and pray. You have to be with mom and dad and help them, do so. Ask yourself, what is my obligation today? Today, what's my obligation? What does Allah want me to do?
Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. May all the praises and thanks be to Allah, to whom belongs all that is in heavens and in the earth. May Allah bless all of you. Be with us for another episode of today's special, inshallah. Thank you and fi amanillah.
Hussein, as-salamu alaykum.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.